Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I still remember the first time that I rode a roller coaster. I was just this little kid, but I'd been talking smack all week about how I was not afraid to ride the roller coaster at the county fair. But when I actually got to the roller coaster, it looked like it was going a lot faster and was a whole lot shakier than I had imagined. And it didn't help my confidence any when the guy strapping me in, I noticed, had only two teeth. And both of them could have used some crest whitening strips big time, let me tell you. I was just a little kid, but I've never had to put my life into the hands of a guy with only two brown teeth, and it shook me up a little bit. The words homicidal maniac came to mind. But it was too late to back down. I thought that the clinking pull to the top of the hill was going to give me cardiac arrest. I was about to die while my parents watched and laughed at me far below, back in the wonderful world of the living. As I plunged through the stratosphere, I couldn't breathe, and I could already read tomorrow's headlines: promising Hebrew student dies in roller coaster crash. Finally, as the car hit the bottom of the hill, it slowed down for a blessed second. I had survived the fall. But then up it went again, preparing for another inevitable drop. I hung on for my dear, sweet life and experienced for the first time the rhythm of a roller coaster. A slow, gentle ascent to the top, followed by a shrieking fall, followed by another gentle ascent, and so on. The whole ride lasted only about a minute. It was just a kiddie roller coaster, after all. And I survived. To my younger siblings, it was an awesome display of bravery. But I have to admit that the roller coaster was not exactly what I thought it would be. I had been taken in by visions of glory and forced to put my life into the hands of a guy with only two teeth. Well, maybe you expect that at county fairs. But does God put unsuspecting people on his own roller coaster? Does he jerk people around by handing them over to unanticipated adversity and then expecting that they're going to adjust to it? Well, evidently. At least that's what he seemed to do to Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah to be his prophet, he promised success. He said that his word in Jeremiah's mouth would come true, and that Jeremiah would be an iron pillar against the whole land. The prophetic ministry, in other words, would be this glorious ride. But then Jeremiah got to the actual ride, and it wasn't what he thought it would be. Nothing was happening, except that Jeremiah was being put in stocks and flogged and ridiculed every time he spoke. Jeremiah was in steep descent, and he was not having a good time. "You enticed me, and I was enticed," he said to God. "You overpowered me, and you prevailed. The word of the Lord causes me constant disgrace and contempt." And Jeremiah, and I know this feeling, wanted to get off, but he couldn't. Any more than I could have gotten out of that roller coaster, because God's word held Jeremiah like a seatbelt. He was locked in. Jeremiah himself explains that when he tried to opt out of his job, God's word was like a raging fire in his heart. He tried to ignore it and overcome it, but he was helpless. He could not get out of the car. Now, in the years since my first roller coaster ride, I figured out how to enjoy the thing. The secret is, you have to trust the system. That is, you have to turn to the very equipment that holds you in and trust that it won't let you down. As you are ascending the hill on the Texas Giant, for example, you tell yourself stuff like, "Well, you know, thousands of people ride this thing every day without incident." People who know what they're doing inspect the equipment daily. There are all these backup systems to keep the cars from flying off the tracks. The steel safety bar is really strong, and that seatbelt is going to keep me safe. All that technology, you see, becomes your friend and your solace against the terrors accompanying the roller coaster's precipitous drop. Well, it's not really so different than what Jeremiah did. He put his trust in God's word, the very word that caused him so much grief in the first place. And so in the text, we see Jeremiah move from fear and frustration to confidence and finally to exuberant joy. In the first part of the text, Jeremiah talks like a man who is in an uncontrollable fall. But suddenly, like a roller coaster changing directions, Jeremiah talks like a guy who just won the lottery, whose problems are all behind him. Listen to what he says out of the blue. "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail and shall not succeed. They shall be utterly shamed with a humiliation for all time, which shall not be forgotten." What changed Jeremiah? Well, he did the only thing that a guy trapped on a roller coaster can do. Like I said, he put his trust in the very word that held him in its grasp, the very word that was responsible for his situation in the first place. And notice what God's word did. The God who enticed him and overpowered him, surprise, surprise, also held him secure and comforted him, even in the midst of betrayal by his closest friends. "You enticed me, O Lord, and I was enticed." I hesitate to draw too direct of a parallel between Jeremiah and us, between Jeremiah and us as Christians or Jeremiah and us as pastors, because there are some obvious differences and distinctions. Except, maybe this bit about God's word. God does choose his people. Remember, he chose Jeremiah to be his prophet from his mother's womb. He chose Israel to be his people, and he chooses people to be his Israel. His word, where and when he wills, captures and holds us. Remember that God's word already got to you in your baptism? That's when he exercised his choice over you, and he called you to be his own. Called you out of darkness into light, we like to say. Death to life, pagan to Israel. The Holy Spirit came to you and put his word, the crucified and risen Christ, into your heart. He's done that. And there is no escaping it. The fact is, you belong to him now. As several of the other prophets discovered, like Jonah, remember, and Moses, and our brother Jeremiah, there is no escaping God. But life under God's hand ain't always a bed of roses, is it? It can be a real roller coaster, as some of you have probably already concluded. The pastoral ministry to which God will call you or has called you in particular is a glorious office, a higher calling, we say. But God can jerk you around here too. He can raise you up and bring you down just like he has done with Israel and his people, even his prophets throughout history. Sometimes God's word doesn't seem to be doing much of anything. In this country, you probably won't be put in stocks or flogged for preaching it. More likely, people will simply ignore you. But sometimes your message is going to offend people and upset people and cause conflict just when you least want that to happen. It'll be your own peculiar and particular heartaches and sleepless nights. People won't respond as you think they should. Your own sin is going to keep getting in the way. Frustration and fear can mount, as can that sense of helplessness and irrelevance. It is a steep drop into oblivion. But wait. What about God's word, which puts you there in the first place? Remember what God already promised you back at your baptism. He promised that none of your enemies, be they physical or spiritual, would prevail against you. He has slotted you for resurrection. That means that your own sin does not have the final say in shaping your life. The heartaches and disappointments do not have the final word. Christ does, and he has already pronounced it to you. Your sins are forgiven. As Christ has risen from the dead, so you too will rise. That's his promise. And so in this life, as Paul says, we are crucified with Christ, and yet we live. Yet not I or you, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live in this flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Life by faith. That sounds like Jeremiah riding the roller coaster of his life in the flesh and putting his eyes firmly on the Word of God that God himself had given him. Hold to that promise, confident that our Lord and Savior will not let you down. He takes care of you. God grant us such faith. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus.